They want me to get rid of my dog. Can they do that?
I'm being fined for leaving my garage door open too long.
What are covenants? Do I have any rights?
Help, I feel like I've left the American zone.
If you want the answers to those questions, join me, Sue Bartholomew, and my guests on The Commons every Saturday from 2 to 3 right here on WEBR Fairfax Radio. We'll ask the experts and we'll untangle the truth about what's left of our property rights. On the Commons is a weekly radio show dedicated to discussing the many issues surrounding mandatory membership homeowners associations. Join us as we explore this relatively new world of controlled living, which includes condominiums, cooperatives, and both attached and detached single-family homes. Living in a common ownership development means giving up the American dream. It means giving up your constitutional rights and control over your most valuable asset, your home. Living in a homeowners association means leaving the American zone. This is On the Commons, and I am Sue Bartholomew. Joining us on the Commons today, we have my old friend and someone I think is probably one of the best people in this game, Julio Rabaina. Julio, when I first met you, you were running around Florida looking at all the different associations and holding meetings and talking to the homeowners and finding out what the problems were and coming up with solutions and fighting. And you said, I promise you all that I will spend the rest of my life working for you and protecting you. And you know what? You have.
Yep, that's absolutely true, Sue. It's a godsend. God puts us in certain positions to do things which we'll never realize or understand why, but we do. And I tell you that I have a passion for this, and I feel just the same way the first day that I did this when I walked into the Florida House of Representatives as I do today. And you know, thank God that our movement has grown. More people are taking notice that they do need to get involved in these associations. But again, it's something that as long as I have health, you and me will be talking about it.
Well, I will always be here. So, and before we started recording, I said, I'm moving to Florida, find me a job, right? I'm going to work with you.
You sure did. You certainly did. Yes.
We will fix this together. You and me. We will fix this together. Because I'm not afraid speaking my mind. So.
Yes, that's a proven fact.
We'll do it. Now, one of the things you're doing, you were timed out. You're no longer an active representative, right?
That's correct.
And you...
However,
yes.
I have now been labeled the grandfather of association law in Florida. Boy, you can tell a lot of years have gone by.
Yeah.
Because back in 2002, when I started running with these issues, I was the only one really, you know... dwelling into looking at what existed for laws and protection for all of those that lived in the different types of associations. That was in 2002. Did a lot of changes in law. I don't know how many pieces of legislation I passed, including the largest bill probably still to this date in history in the Florida House, which was over 800 pages and took over probably 3 hours or 4 hours to just read the bill. That was the big condo reform bill in 2008, which changed and unprecedented, 34 parts of the statute. But I'm sad to say that nobody else continued with it. Quite the opposite, special interest has been, as I like to call it, gnawing away or chewing away little by little at all the good work that we did throughout the years, and I hate to say I told you so, but the stuff that they took away and you know, all the things that they did throughout the now 11 years that I've been out of the legislature were the most important items that protected owners in associations. And now, of course, fast forward, a tragedy occurs. We had, you know, the Surfside tragedy, as we call it, the Champaign Towers who collapsed. Lots of, almost 100 innocent people died. And now they realize, oh, my God, Mr. Julio Rubino wasn't a crying wolf. He's actually very serious. And now look at all the parts of his laws that have been removed. So I'm back in. How? Not as an elected official, but I've had the state reach out to me. I had different senators, other representatives call me and say, since you're the grandfather and we don't know about this stuff, can you help us write some legislation like you did in the early 2000s to try to get this back in order and to try to, again, provide the safeguards that you did when you were around. So I, as you know, I'm like you, Shu. I said, absolutely. And I've been helping them, and we'll discuss some of the things that we're working on. Hopefully we'll start up in December, these bills. In January, they start the legislative session. They'll be done by the end of February. By March, hopefully the governor will sign them, and we'll have a bunch of changes in Florida, putting back some protections that I had put in the early 2000s. And on top of that, you know, again, there's no such thing as retirement. So I figured, all right, I'll help, you know, the Capitol. I'll help my lawmakers. But then, of course, I've been asked to help at our county level, our county commissioner. Two of them asked me to get on a blue ribbon panel committee that's looking at more of the structural problems and the inspections that should be required. And that's taken a lot of work also. But again, notice that there's no complaints or tone of there's nothing in the tone of my voice that resents any of this. I quite love it. And it's just sad that, you know, that not a lot of other people took interest in this very important subject. But it took a tragedy, and now all of a sudden, here we are again, Shu.
Well, I'm still here, and I've been doing this for a very long time. So you're not alone. I think we're twins.
I think so, and I think we both have a passion for what you know you're doing, which is public service. This is all a public service that we're doing for people. And again, I guess it's a blessing to have been put in a position to do what you do and what I do in order to help, in my case, you know, Floridians. And I know that other states have taken notice of what we've done, have tried to implement some things, but we still haven't even, as they say, broken the plane yet. We've got so much work to do.
You know, I'm thinking you've written so many bills and you've introduced them and you've passed them, and it's so easy for the industry. And let's spell it out. The industry is the Community Association Institute, and they're the only ones who make any money off this stuff.
Okay. They do.
So let's be honest. Let's lay it on the table. Don't be fooled, people. You've heard me for the last 22 years say, do your homework. That's the only thing that's going to save you. You can get bags of money and go find an attorney who will take your case. Most attorneys don't know the first thing about HOA law. So, you know.
That is correct.
And you're
That's
going,
correct.
They're going to have to do a whole lot of research, and maybe they'll get it, maybe they won't. But if you've done your homework and if you know what you're talking about, you can cut that time down and reduce your bills. But
absolutely.
Julio, you say you wrote all this stuff, and usually it's bills that protect the homeowners, you know, this will happen, this will happen, that will happen. And our friends at CAI, and some of them are schmucks, and some of them are actually very nice people. And, you know, not everybody in every career field is bad and not everybody's good. So you have a bit of a mixture. But they're going to come in and they're the professionals, and they're the attorneys, and they know exactly how to come in and tweak what you spent a lot of time doing and change mm-hmm. the meaning entirely. A little comma here, a little period there, you know, and all of a sudden it's changed. I hear from homeowners, oh, we've got this bill and we're going to get it passed and we've got someone who's going to give it to me and blah, blah, blah. And I look at the bill and I go, put it in the trash can. That's where it belongs. You know, don't. It's not going to do this. It's bad. Oh, no, 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 no. And, of course, it is bad because it takes 2 seconds for them to say, oh, we're just going to fix this a little bit, comma here. And that changes the entire meaning.
It absolutely does.
Of the legislation.
And Shu, let me just put it in another perspective. So we, the elected officials, lawmaker, work for the voters, for the citizens that live
yeah.
in these associations that are asking to be protected, to be able to have a quality of life. And of course, you know, it takes us forever. I don't know if everyone understands, you do, how hard it is to pass legislation. First of all, you've got to listen, like I did traveling around the state.
Yes, you did.
Listening to the problems, and what I always used to pride myself in is that I always told everybody, I'm not the one who has to come up or has to give my ideas on how to change it. If you listen to these people, not only will they tell you the problem, but they can also give you, most of the time, a solution.
Yes.
So here you go. You listen to your voters, the people who put you in office. You take their problems. You take their suggestions how to fix it. Then you go through this war. It's a battle. That's why they call it making sausage, which is what making laws are like. And you fight for them, and you finally get it passed, and boom, you're done, and you got a good piece of legislation.
Okay.
Now, a year or two later, here's where lobbying and money comes in. Some of the same people that
yes.
voted for one thing will turn around because money is the root of all evil.
Right.
It can be the root of happiness. But in the legislative process, or meaning in lawmaking, something that, as I just explained, took all this time and effort and traveling and listening and fighting to get a good piece of consumer protection legislation passed, is quickly removed with a couple of campaign contributions
yes.
to some of the same people. That's something we can't offer. We can't. So in other words, the voters honor and elect people by vote, but they're not there giving them money. Here comes the special interest, like the CAIs, and I'm glad you said some of them, not all of them, but a lot of them are making money. They represent a profession that makes money off of this, but they also are loaded with money and pay people on both sides of the aisle,
yes.
and they all of a sudden remove things that took such a hard, hard fight to get put in place. Fast forward to today. There's some things that I'm going to be talking about in a few minutes that are some of the things we're looking at this year that I already had in law back in 2006, 2008. And here we are, since they've been removed secretly with those campaign donations and hidden in
yeah.
big pieces of legislation. That's the game.
Yeah.
They bury it in a bill or they put it somewhere where you can't even tell what it is. And since lawmakers, let's be honest, don't read everything that they vote on.
That shocked the hell out of me when I heard that. They said, oh, give us just something
incredible.
Little. You know, and they didn't read it.
They didn't read it. But somebody's there's a thing called whips and majority leaders and minority leaders, and they're the ones that supposedly come up and tell you, okay, this is a good one, vote for it. Okay, but I haven't read it. Doesn't matter. You know, our party wants you to vote for it. It's really sad. If people knew what went on in this process, they'd be really offended and disappointed. But I'm not going to go into that. That's a whole nother show. But again, going back to what goes on, they remove it. So here we are back again after a tragedy and after I told you so, and after we knew that people didn't have to die, you know, the way that they did so horribly, because there could have been safeguards in place. Here we go again. having to do the work again. So it's not easy. But again, you know, the main thing is that you know, who would have thought that even out of office, they'd come back and say, we need you because we know that you have been fighting for the rights of these associations for years. So here we are.
Yeah, no. You have not been fighting for the rights of the association. You've been fighting for the rights of the homeowners.
And that's exactly what I meant, too. I meant the people that are members that live in these associations. It's always been a battle against the boards and the special interests, as you know.
And again,
everybody at first used to say that, you know, that I hated every board member and that I was against volunteer board members.
No.
And again, here we go. Fast forward. Now they realize that what I was trying to do is protect everyone, including the board members, which a lot of times don't know what the heck they're doing.
That's right. Finally,
the owners that really put their trust blindly in a group of people that are blind. How's that for comment? You're putting your trust blindly in the hands of people who are blind and can't even see or understand what they're doing. Really sad.
Here's another government mandate. You have to live you have to live in an association. Why? You have to live in an association because it benefits the government as well as the industry, as well as the attorneys and the managers and the, you know, the people who make money, people who are feeding at the trough at the home of the homeowners. And you have no say in it. You know, people are hard pressed to find something that's not in an HOA, that doesn't come with these bells and whistles.
And too, as you know, there's a lot of HOAs that I've actually helped them go through the process of dissolving their HOA. There's no need for the HOA.
I love you. You're amazing.
And you know that. It's a fact. It's done because it's an ultimate control centered on a small group of people. That's what a lot of these HOAs have. You got HOAs out there that exist that have nothing, except they're using the excuse, oh, we mow and maintain your front lawn and your landscaping. You've got to be kidding me, you know. And you're charging them all kinds of money and stuff. Those are the easy ones that, if they're willing to put up a good fight, they can dissolve it. People can maintain their own front yards and their you know, landscaping and so forth. And besides that, you got local government that you can always call code compliance. You don't need another mafia.
Yeah, but it's the government that that mandates these stupid things.
Well, that's why you make a very valid point. It's almost the second layer of eyes, second layer of government.
It is.
But there's so many HOAs out there that share nothing. They don't have swimming pools. They don't have tennis courts. They don't have golf courses. They don't have roads, lights. The only thing they share is basically somebody comes out to mow the lawn and maintain their four or five little parts of some, you know, flowering garden or landscaping. Really sad. So that's the world of HOAs. And then now when you come to condos, that's where you got to understand what a mess that is and how bad when government tries to get in to regulate it and supposedly be there. We got the biggest mess in Florida with the Department of Business and Professional Regulations that doesn't do a damn thing. People pay taxes to have that group in place. It's so political that you call them, and a lot of times the employees don't even know the statutes that they're supposedly there to explain or to protect.
Why does that not surprise me?
So, of course, you know, I always get crucified for being so blatant and honest, but I can't play politics when you're hurting the people that I care for, which are the owners of these units. And we are, which is going to segue me into my first thing that I'm doing. This, I'm going to discuss about four or five things that I'm working on. But the biggest thing that I'm working on right now, and we already, thank God, have a senator that sponsored the bill. We got a member of the House sponsored the bill. This thing's going to go forward. It's going to create what I consider to be really the only necessity in any type of of support, which is a this is for condos, though. Unfortunately, it's not for homeowners associations. It's a condo fraud task force, meaning what's that mean? A condo fraud group of law enforcement officers that will work only and solely for condominiums in Dade County, Broward County, and Monroe County, which constitutes 75% of fraud, mismanagement, and corruption in the state of Florida. So that's a big one. And even that, wouldn't you know it, that the other regulatory arm of the state, DBPR, is fighting it because they don't want to be embarrassed when law enforcement does more in 1 week than they've done in their existence. So they try to fight the bill. All the prosecuting agencies, meaning the state attorneys in all three counties, welcome this because they'll finally be able to start putting away those who steal, those who mismanage, those who get kickbacks, you know, from these associations as volunteers. So that's the big one. It's, again, it's called the Condo Fraud Task Force, and it is definitely, you know, moving now here in Tallahassee, Florida. And that's the main thing. So that's my biggest, my biggest baby that I'm watching it go through this process. And hopefully it'll be signed and we'll have it in law next year. Is the biggest complaint we get from people in associate condos is, you know, people are stealing left and right. We got nowhere to turn. They do whatever they want.
Yeah.
Law enforcement says we don't know how to do that, or we're too busy.
You
with
agreed.
Automobile crimes. They're
you
too
agreed.
Busy with other things, and this is not their priority.
Yep.
And then, of course, here are the state attorneys waiting for a case to have been investigated and people have been arrested so they can prosecute. Nothing's getting to them. So it's a vicious circle where nothing gets done except that corruption fraud continues at a higher level than ever. I mean, you won't believe the cases, and they're not stealing $20-$30. They're stealing hundreds of thousands of dollars in these communities. Because I always say, you got all kinds of laws, but if you don't have the enforcement arm of it, can you imagine where we would be at? Welcome to the world of condo associations and homeowner associations in Florida.
Well, this is something that is desperately needed all over the country. And usually what you get is if you go to the police or go to anyone, they say, well, but you agreed to this, didn't you? This is the biggest idiocy.
If I had a nickel for every time I've heard that, I'd have more money than the owner of Amazon.
But right.
Unfortunately, they don't get it. So this is why this group will be a trained, specialized group of law enforcement officers with offices where the complaints will be screened to see if they find probable cause. They'll have subpoena power, which we need in Florida because no community wants to turn over documents ever. There are powers that have been given to the DBPR, the division that currently regulates, which they can subpoena documents. They can fine people for not turning them over. Ask me how many times they've used it. Probably 5 times. And I gave them that power in 2008 through legislation. Nothing gets done. It's a paper-pushing government environment, what we like to call bureaucracy. A lot of people getting nice checks, waiting to retire from government, but nothing getting done for the owners. So here we go. We hope that this specialized group of fraud police officers and screeners and people that will do audits and so forth will come into play. I guarantee you, if we're successful, by the end of next year, as you know, when the media starts reporting all these arrests and that there is this fraud committee that came in and arrested everyone and took away their computers and took away the files, I think you'll see a wave go across, at least in Florida, telling people, don't play around here anymore. Now we have enforcement, and we're going to come after you if you steal from these associations. Unfortunately, it doesn't exist now.
But it's going to be existing. It's being birthed.
Once it gives birth, then we try it, because what we do in Florida, we don't implement things statewide. You have to do it, like I said, in a test run style, I guess is what it's called. So we have 67 counties in Florida. We're going to do it in three. The three that constitute 75% of crime, which is just happens to be the county that I live in, Miami-Dade County, and Broward County, which is right up there, and Monroe County, which is our famous Florida Keys. And that area has a lot of fraud and issues like this. So can't wait to get this one going, because this will definitely make an impact. I hope that other states do the same, that they create their own fraud task force. Again, don't give it to your local police departments to handle white-collar crime and condos. It's just not going to happen. Create a group of specialized people, which is what they do every day, is this. It's almost like what they did for Medicare fraud and Medicaid fraud. Notice that you call and they send a special agency. Sometimes it's the FBI, but the FBI has a group of officers with subpoena power and arrest power. But all they do is fraud, Medicare fraud, Medicare fraud in the state. It's Medicaid fraud. So we didn't have to go out and reinvent the wheel here, Shu. We're just doing what the times have brought us to do. We need to have this because I don't. Unfortunately, for the state of Florida, as land becomes, as land becomes scarce, what developers are building, those days of seeing single-family homes go up are not happening. These are all communities, gated communities with that HOA. Yeah. Or they're building up the condo with a condo association. And, of course, if you like Central Florida, where Walt Disney World and stuff is in there, in that area, it's a lot of timeshares and co-ops. Another subject for another day, and I won't even tell you how bad it is in that world.
Well, I'd so like to hear that.
Well, it's another one. I mean, the co-ops are quite interesting.
Oh, yeah.
I've been involved with a couple of those. But the timeshares, people regret a lot of times buying it to begin with, and the way they're managed is a ripoff. There's just no accountability to you once you put down hard money to be one of many owners sharing a unit for a couple of weeks a year. Again, that would be a subject that I would love to have another show with you someday and talk
anytime,
about that, because
always,
it's huge.
Always,
it's huge,
yeah.
It's huge in Florida. But anyway, going back to this, some of the other items that we're going to be pushing this year is finally some mandatory reserves. That is going to be a double-edged sword. I'm going to tell you why. Because the tower that fell, they would have had reserves. Instead of just some reserves, they probably would have had the money to have gotten this work done when they needed. So I believe that the law that currently exists in Florida, which says every year when the budget is done for these condominiums, the owners get to weigh. They decide whether they want reserves or not. And that would be like asking you, Shu, to tax yourself more money. 99.9% say no. So condos in Florida, I believe in Dade County with the thousands of condos, I think we have less than five buildings that have reserves. They just don't have reserves. So what happens? You didn't put your money away in a reserve for a rainy day, for when these things come due. Now they get hit with these special assessments. And I will tell you, I think you and me were talking about, this is a state of retirees. A lot of people that are retired here on a small pension or just on Social Security, and they look for condos to live in. Do you really think they're going to be able to afford a series of special assessments? No. So it becomes then, you know, lien, foreclose, and then developers have a field day, you know, buying stuff, knocking old stuff down and building new stuff. It's a vicious cycle.
It is.
So it's really bad. So let me go right to the point and then we'll discuss it. Here's some of the things. Again, we're looking at a mandatory reserve, meaning no more opting out of reserves. All condo associations will have to have reserves. But we'll probably start where the minimum of the reserve mandated will be 10%. But that will change because they're also going to mandate a reserve studies or reserve calculations. And these are studies that should be done every 5 or 10 years from the moment that, you know, that the building gets its certificate occupancy. These studies have to be prepared by a professional, you know, a licensed engineer or architect. And these studies, basically what they do is they tell you what is the life expectancy on your roof, on your elevators, on your paint, on your parking asphalt area, on all the capital projects, life safety, meaning fire sprinklers, fire alarms. And depending on what the life expectancy is, then they'll have to start calculating how much more than the 10% will they need to collect from these owners so that they'll have this money in a certain fund, so that when these projects come due, and they will come due in Florida, you have at least some of it or all of it set aside, and people can weather another, you know, string of special assessments. Another big one is the turnover from developers. And I want to elaborate on this, because a lot of the things we're talking about are older buildings. But what happens with all the new condominiums and new construction happening in Florida? Well, you got great developers that build a quality product, and they turn it over. And now when the owners take control and have their own board and the developer's gone, you know, they inherited a good product. All they have to do is maintain it. But unfortunately, you do have those developers who build something that aesthetically looks wonderful, right, but it's a mess.
Yes.
It has all kinds of problems, structurally, mechanically, you name it. And they start appearing, these problems, within months, maybe a year or two after the developer is sold and gone. So what's being considered is at the turnover from the developer would have to turn over to the newly elected board an up-to-date reserve study, meaning he has to have done a reserve study, and including leaving some funds in a certain fund that would equal a couple of years of doing repair or maintenance work in an interest-bearing account. So if the guy or the developer built a shoddy product, the owners are not going to be having to go to their pocket after just buying something new with shoddy work. They'll be able to take that money from the money that the developer left in this trust fund. However, if the project is great and the developer built a quality product, he'll get his money back in 3 to 5 years with interest. So it's more of a safeguard, because we've had a lot of that where people have bought into these beautiful buildings, and they're complaining, oh my God, what did we buy here? Literally months after moving in, you got hairline cracks, you got elevators not working, shoddy work. So it's almost like an insurance that I've put my money where my mouth is. I'm going to leave this money in this fund, and I guarantee my work. Well, if it doesn't come through, they will withdraw from that particular fund. The other thing is certification reports. I don't know, Shu, if you know that in Miami-Dade County and in Broward County, there are two counties where you have to certify your building every 40 years and 50 years, and then every 10 years after that. What does that mean? Well, that's like the Champaign Towers. You know, a building, when it's brand new, it doesn't get its first structural inspection and electrical inspection until it's 40 years old.
Wow.
There's people saying that that's what led to the demise and the falling of the Champaign Tower. It's on a coastal area. They saw cracks. They saw exposed rebar. So 40 years, here we go. It took a tragedy for us to realize, after now talking to a lot of structural engineers, that's ridiculous. It needs to be cut down. So the thought is possibly cutting it down to 25, and there's some people thinking that it's going to be even as low as every 10 years, that building needs to be structurally inspected for the integrity to prevent any collapsing again, like we did at Champaign Towers.
With one of these inspections, it's just a visual, isn't it?
That's an excellent question. So how does this work? And I've been witness to how it is. So you hire a licensed structural engineer. They come out, and it's basically a visual. However, if they find something that's more complex or something that worries them, then they can go ahead and commission another type of inspection, which of course the association will pay for. But remember, until he's satisfied that whether he was able to be satisfied through the visual or through an extended inspection, that engineer is not going to sign off on that building making it safe for the inhabitants in the building. So it's going to be interesting. And remember, these are licensed individuals. I doubt very much they will ever want to lose their license or, more importantly, be sued for not doing the additional inspections if necessary. But that's definitely on the radar for a big deal. That's going to be something for the entire state of Florida, because if you know Florida, we're coastal on two sides. Yeah. You got the Gulf on one side, and we got the Atlantic on the other.
Right.
And the most popular living is coastal area in Florida. And I believe it's everywhere in the United States. Who doesn't want to get a nice little place near the beach or overseeing the water? But it comes with that situation that salt and lack of maintenance do not mix well. You know, I was told by engineers that if they'd only paint the building the way they should and they gave it the proper maintenance of the Spalding, its rebar showing, and it could be fixed, the paint alone can save buildings from having to have any kind of structural issues. Something as small as painting the building.
Protecting
but again,
it
doesn't
yeah.
happen.
Yeah.
And then finally, the last one, and we'll go into discussion on these, is the biggest problem now, property insurance. Pretty much all the insurance carriers are sending letters to all the condominiums, not just the ones on the coastal areas, but even those inland. And they're demanding proof that there has been a structural inspection done of the building.
Ah.
If not, they will cancel the insurance. Now, that's posing a huge problem because you've got to understand that the going rate for a small building, let's say four stories, with an inspection may run $2,500. May not sound a lot to you, but if it's a small building, people have to pay that. Retirees on Social Security have to pay that. And if it's they find problems, and it can be, you know, thousands of dollars more. So what happens? All of a sudden, these people, after the collapse of the Champaign Towers in Surfside, have been getting notices from every insurance carrier. You got 45 days to hire a structural engineer, do an inspection, and give us proof that your building is structurally safe. If not, we will cancel your policy.
Wow.
Well, you know that these communities cannot go one day without having insurance coverage for many reasons.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the run on trying to find structural engineers. First of all, there's not enough of them to meet the demand of the 45 days. Look at this catch-22 that government is putting these buildings in. And then second of all, the cost can get to be ridiculous, because if they do find faults, not only is it the cost of these professionals to do the inspections, but then you have to set money aside to do the actual repair work, and that gets expensive. So we have to find a way to work with the insurance industry here in Florida on how we can get over this. And there's one that I don't know enough, because I'm not into the world of insurance legislation. All I can tell you is that they bring a big lobbying corps, and they don't lose money.
Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see how property insurance and this issue with associations will be dealt with come January here in Florida. And that's pretty much my list of the things that we're working on currently, Shu. So, you know, we can discuss some of these things now, but a lot of this stuff where government turned their back and didn't even care what was going on. Now, all of a sudden, after the tragedy in Surfside, now nobody wants to be embarrassed. Public officials don't want to be embarrassed. They don't want to have another building like that in their backyard, in their municipality, in their city, or their state. And it's just the knee-jerk reactions, I guess, is the proper way to put it, is really causing a lot of problems also.
I'm impressed with everything you have talked about. You have been working really, really, really hard.
We, and I say we because there's a lot of good people that are getting involved in this to make sure that those that live in condominiums are safe and they don't get scared at night. I will tell you, I get calls from seniors all the time crying, is my building going to collapse, Mr. Robina? You won't believe the scare because what they witnessed was horrible.
Yeah.
And it shouldn't have happened. So, yes, you notice that we're trying to look at every angle, and I'm sure there's a lot of things that we're not looking at because, you know, time is in the essence. We have the session coming up on us, like I said, now in December. The session is in January and February. By March, we hope to have this, a lot of these things in place. But you can see the level and the caliber of these items that we're dealing with. These are not going to be easy items to tackle in Tallahassee, meaning, you know, in the legislative process come the early beginning of next year.
I know, I can imagine that. I keep thinking also that there was an incident and where the FBI was involved, and that was because it went across state lines. That was from California to, I can't think of the name of the place. And people were just, you know, the money was just being stolen and robbed and all of that. So,
absolutely, Shu. You know that's a common occurrence. I will tell you, though, for the record, the supermajority of board members are honest, hardworking people that are giving of their time because they want to protect the integrity and, of course, their investment. But more importantly, they care about the quality of life. But there's always that, and the percentages grow every year of those who are there to steal. Let's call it what it is, to make money off of it, to find a way to make a living off of this stuff. And the temptation is incredible. And the opportunities, again, without a good fraud task force or a good, you know, law enforcement agency, what I call the checks and balances, these people are getting away with murder. And that's why, again, we need the component of this, this fraud committee, because you got to have enforcement. Laws are no good, folks, unless there's an arm of enforcement.
I know. I agree.
Simple as that.
I absolutely agree, which is why I really like the fair housing laws. It's a law that
yes.
the government's come up with, but it's the only law that I know of that they enforce. And the homeowners.
And those are very important, very important. So you got to have enforcement. In Florida, we don't have enforcement. No police department will tell you, oh, yeah, we'll take it on. We'll go ahead and investigate the fraud. Most of them will tell you, this is an association. I get an attorney. Go at it through the civil courts. And that's
you agreed. Ridiculous. You agreed, Julio. You agreed. This is what you wanted, right? What a god. Yeah, okay.
No. I'll be polite. This is the deal. By the way, you know what else is happening? Unfortunately, getting a lot of condos here where, again, out of the knee-jerk reactions and the scare that these municipalities have to not be the next one on the national spotlight of having another building collapse in their community, they're shutting down buildings if you don't comply. I mean, I'm talking about, for instance, close to me, two buildings with over 100 units in it, people living in there retiring, they weren't doing their 40-year certification from one day to the next. The city of Miami goes in there and says, we're closing, we're shutting you down. You've got a couple of hours to get your belongings and get out and go live somewhere else.
Wow.
And at the same time, they're still having to pay their maintenance fee. They're still having to pay their mortgage if they have one.
Yeah.
They still have to pay their property taxes. And then they have to pay to find somewhere else to live.
Right.
Can you imagine? That's how bad it is. I'm not trying to paint an image of the skies falling, but I want people to understand how bad it really is and what's happening. And it will get worse.
And people need to understand that. Because I've seen this over the years, I've seen this sort of thing happen so many times. Not so much that the buildings have been closed, but there have been instances where, you know, buildings have been closed because of issues. And I keep going back to Julia. I've never seen so much shoddy workmanship in my life. I mean, we've had, where I grew up, we've had the same kind of buildings, and I'm not aware of any of them collapsing.
So you're talking shoddy work, correct? That's the reason why we want to create this mandated, you know, fund where these developers have to be responsible if they did shoddy work and not pass that burden on to somebody who paid a lot of money to live in these units that they built and developed. And if they did a good job, their money's coming back to them. It won't be touched, and it'll have interest bearing on it. But
I love
understand that. That's a big problem, the shoddy workmanship. Nowadays, it doesn't take very much to get a general contractor license and to work with an architect and develop a small little community and attach to it an association. But yeah. We have to – this is where government needs to make sure that they protect individuals from shoddy and these type of shysters, developers that do exist. Again, my disclaimer, I'm not saying all developers are bad.
I agree.
I know a lot of them that build great quality product, and you get a good product for your money. But welcome to South Florida. I can show you the example of what is not quality.
I love that. I absolutely love that idea. And I hope it passes. And I hope it passes. I hope the industry...
You know, there'll be a lot of lobbying against it.
The industry's going to go after
There'll be a lot of
them.
Lobbying because...
Do me a favor.
About CAI, I'm sure they're going to come and oppose it. Developers, which have deep pockets, are going to dump a lot of money to make sure that they don't never have to leave some money in any kind of security trust fund. So that's going to be another group of people fighting it. You know, it's always sad that, you know, when you got a great idea, but it's somebody else that's going to lose out with deep pockets, they got a good chance of what I call stopping or preventing these laws from passing.
If they come in and start bellyaching about this law, let me have their names, Julio. I'll invite them to come on and explain why.
Sue, and I would love to debate them also, if you were to do something like that.
I would love to have you on. That would be absolutely brilliant.
And I love debates because, you know, like I said, I know where I stand. I know what my morals and principles are, and I know who I work for. That is the voters, the people of my state, people of my county, the people of my city. But these people care about making a profit. And I get it. You know, I'm a Republican, and I support making a you know, working hard and being successful in this country and making all the money that you can. God bless you for being able to do that, but not at the cost of taking advantage of anyone.
I agree. So, I so agree with you.
And that's the deal. That's the deal. It's very simple. You can put out a quality product, you know, still make a wonderful living, be extremely wealthy, and not have to cause people stress and anguish and, you know, everything else. The anxiety that goes through being told, but we got a major problem here. We need to specially assess you again. No, absolutely not.
You can make more money by developing a reputation of building a top quality thing and taking pride in what you've done and backing it up with some money so that people feel comfortable and confident buying from you. That's where you're going to make more money, not by being a shyster.
Absolutely. You just explained it perfectly well. And people will look for that builder's name. They'll look for that company name because they'll know that it's that old cliche. They put their money where their mouth is.
That's right.
That's it.
That's right.
So
that's absolutely
we're
right.
Trying. Yeah, we're going to try to do it. But again, all these things we spoke about will impact somebody financially, probably in the pocket.
Yep.
But I don't care about the financial. My job is to protect and ensure that you got a good product, but more importantly, that you're safe and you can live without stressing out what's going to happen to your home, to your condo, to your timeshare, to your co-op. You know, that's not the way this business was ever meant to be. It's just gotten completely out of whack. We do need enforcement.
You know, you get the word, the names out there as well. This building was built by Schmuckatelli, you know, so they go to the real estate agents and say, I want a building that is not built by Schmuckatelli. So you can build a reputation that way as well. Just keep getting, give awards to people who are doing a really, really good job of building. Because frankly, I'm just shocked. I mean, I grew up overseas and everything was, everything in America was bigger and better. And, you know, and I come here and they can't even get a building done right. I mean, come on, give me a break.
That's correct. And which, by the way, as a result of this and what we're talking about now, Shu, reminds me that I want to compliment a commissioner in one of the municipalities here in Hollandale Beach, commissioner by the name of Anna Lima Taub, and she did something at the local level, which is now going to be, I don't know how I forgot to talk about this, but it is also one of her priorities. It's going to become what she did in her municipality should become state law, because the state loves it and may implement it. And that will be that, since I told you it's so hard to get records from these associations, they don't want to tell you what's going on. They don't want to tell you if permits have been pulled, what work is being done to the building. Well, she came up with an ordinance, which an ordinance is a local law that belongs to a city or a county, that makes it mandatory that now all these associations have to put on the county website, or it will be soon the state website, all the work that's being done. So when you don't get any information from your association, you're going to be able to go in, let's say, her city. Let's use her city. Her city is the city of Hollandale Beach. You're asking, what's going on? What are they doing? What are these permits? Have permits been pulled, or have you been fined? And of course, they're not going to tell you. You're going to be able to go to the website of the city of Hollandale Beach, and you'll be able to pop in the name of your condo, and boom, you'll see every permit, every violation. So you're going to know how you stand when it comes to the building and the structural integrity of that building. Great idea. Implementing started with Anna Lima Taub here in Hollandale Beach. It took off. Now all the cities are passing it. The county loved it. Miami-Dade County, they're going to implement it. And now it's made its way into the hand of two lawmakers to make this a statewide law, so that no more guessing what's being built. What are they doing on the building? Did they even pull a permit to do that? You'll be able to know everything that's being done to that building, you know, that affects the association structurally. Any work, you'll be able to go to that county or city or the state website and put in your name, and you'll know exactly what's being done. We're trying to create transparency.
I think that's absolutely brilliant, and I want to learn more about it, but we're not going to do it tonight. I'm afraid.
No, I will tell you, you should invite the commissioner on board. She loves to speak. Anna Lima Taub, I know we're running out of time here. We would definitely like to invite her, because I think she's a future star of Florida, and I've heard she's even considering running for higher office. Wouldn't that be great if the grandfather, me, could finally get a break and let her take on the work?
Yeah, I got news for you, my friend. You'll never get a break as long as I'm around. I will be getting you.
Not a problem, too. Like I said, I love what I do.
You know, we have so much fun laughing and joking and kidding around, but we get out some really, really, really good information, and I treasure that. So don't get too comfortable and don't think too hard about retiring, because that ain't going to happen. But
I probably will not.
No. You know what? We're going to make you an icon throughout the country, because we're going to move you from Florida to nationally. Because we need everybody.
How's the weather? That's my question. How's the weather? If it's not like Florida, I don't think I'm interested.
You know what? It's not. Well, it's humid in the summer, but It gets cold.
I love my, with all the problems that we discuss that we have here in Florida and stuff, I live in tropical paradise, so it'll be hard. I may move 30 minutes away from where I live now, but after that, I don't think I'm going to leave this state. It's a wonderful state, and I really love living here. More importantly, I love the weather.
Yeah, no, I can understand that. I can understand that. But you love what you're doing, and so you can do the same thing. And of course, you love coming on the comments, right? You're always available.
We always really put out a lot of good information that those that are listening hopefully are taking notes and sharing it with their legislative bodies, whether it's in a city or a county or the state. Please. Take note. I mean, this is how we work. We learn from each other. We don't have to reinvent the wheel.
But the thing is, the shows are available on my website, and you can listen to them again and again and again. So it's not, if you miss anything now, it's all gone. It will be available because this, you know, what we do here is try to give you information, and you don't get information by just having it zip through your head and then that's it. It's gone forever. It's there. It's available.
That is absolutely correct.
So thank you so much. And Julio, you're an angel.
Well, thank you, Sue.
I love having you on, and I will be talking to you really soon. And I would like to meet Anna Nee as well.
Thank you so much, and please, always.
Please check out our website at onthecommons.us. On the Commons is produced by OTC Multimedia Productions.
Well, I finally bought my dream home to enjoy retirement life. I've made new friends and buddies, lots of parties for my wife. It seemed that life was perfect, all my neighbors felt the same. Then along came death by CCRs, life's over, I'm fair game. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Now there's lots of open meetings close to justice for HO. Those arrogant board members say what they want you to know. The CAI and ULI will help you lose it all. But I wouldn't sell that dream home yet, the writing's on the wall. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Well, we're not afraid or stupid, all your threats mean nothing here. Time marches on, soon you'll be gone, united we'll be there. So put your rules and CCRs up where the sun don't shine, and enjoy those precious golden years, stop messing around with mine. Those petty rules and regulations, it's enough to make you cry. They're full of woes, no pink flamingos, someone tell us why. Slick managers and lawyers slither close, but they won't tell why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell. Why our dream home should remind us we bought a one-way ticket to hell.